All right. Whose phone is this? Someone left their phone. Great to see everybody. Some new faces, so this will be exciting. How we doing? Hasn't changed much. I mean, it's still surreal that this all happened. I think you're a little insulated during the process, so it'll kind of unravel, I'm assuming, over time, where you can go back and really cherish the memories, and obviously those are the things you're thinking about. But life happens fast, and it's not as much time as you want to celebrate. Calendar rolls on, so that's what our focus is right now. A lot of congratulations. So thankful for all those people that reached out.
You said right after your call, right, you hadn't watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I still haven't.
You
yeah.
still haven't?
No.
Do you have a time to when you'd want to? Or?
I don't know. I'm going to Hawaii next week, so I ain't watching it there either.
Mike, your defense in the Super Bowl was kind of interesting. So much dime, not a lot of base at all. You still got after the run.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Sorry. Your Super Bowl defense, you played a lot of dime, hardly any base, not a lot of blitz, huge pressure rate. Seems like you're able to play the kind of defense everyone wants to, but you're able to make a math work with the players you have.
Yeah.
How do you guys do it?
Well, that's who we are. That's what we do, and I think – you know, if you go into a game like that and want to start obviously trying to change your identity and how you operate, that's a risky proposition. So obviously we're going to build game plans around how teams operate and what we feel like is best to give it a certain situation. But we've decided that's who we wanted to be. That's what our guys have shown us that they're good at. And so we listened to them, and that's how we built our defense. And we got the players that can pull it off.
Hey, Mike, Jesse Minter hired in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I know you have a good,
good to see you, bud.
Yeah, good to see you. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You have a good relationship with him. What were the conversations you had with him either during the interview process or the last year as he gets ready for this opportunity? What are the Ravens getting at him?
Well, Jesse and I, we've stayed in contact throughout the years just because we're buds, and you know, it's fun to bounce football ideas off each other every once in a while. He's given me more tips than I'm probably giving him, so I appreciate that. But just going into the process, just shared him some things he just didn't necessarily expect that that I learned going through things. He'd say, if I were to do it again, this is how I would have done. Just having a clear vision of what you're trying to create, you know, and say, look, this is what I believe in, and let the teams kind of either buy it or sell it, and go from there, and trust that, like, if it works and it's the right you know, marriage of people, then you know you're going to be in a great spot. And obviously he's in a great spot. You see a lot of alignment, and I expect Jesse to do great things. You know, I expect them to be right there, and they're going to be a team that we're going to have to contend with, so we're definitely going to be paying attention.
Mike, I watched the interview with you where you said you tried to spend a little more time at home this year instead of the facility.
Yeah.
I was curious, did you recognize a personal performance benefit in that, or get more sleep because of that? Or
well, the thought, well, really, like, we're trying to find more ways throughout the week for me to, like, separate from football. And I just felt like as a leader, that's what I needed to do to be a better version of myself when we were with the people in the building. And that was one of the things that we decided to do. And it worked out great. It worked out great. It was more time at home and more refreshed, better version of myself in the office that hopefully people were more excited to be around me than maybe the year before.
Mike, as you guys make the change from Clint Kubiak, who's a great OC, to Brian Fleury, what should fans expect from this offense heading into next year?
Well, we're going to be the Seattle Seahawks, and we're going to have a different evolution of our offense, and it's going to be built on the same principles, but how it comes to life and the exact plays that we're going to run, I can't answer that yet. I don't know the answer to that, but I know how Brian's going to operate and how our offensive staff's going to operate, and I'm really excited to see how they make this thing come to life. And so it's going to be a fun process to be a part of, and sharpening each other as we start to get some of these competitive periods. And again, like, we're going back through the process, you know, so we're back at kind of stage one now, and we have to be disciplined enough to stick to our steps and our process and trust that, you know, the results are going to be, you know, aligned with how we visualize our team being.
Coach, how do you transition from we just won a Super Bowl to, okay, we have to start looking at this draft class? How has your transition from that been like?
Oh, trust me, it's easier than you think. I mean, you got to hire a staff, and, you know, time waits on nobody, and we had to go. So, hey, you're flying to the combine on Monday, and these are interviews. I mean, it's just that these daily things you got to hit, and those are the things you're focused on, you know, just to be completely honest.
Mike, you run a 3-4 defense, but Kubiak said he's going to run a 3-4 in Las Vegas. What tips do you have for him?
Well, we kind of run a 3-4, kind of evolved to more of like a 4-down team with some 5-down principles. But I've said this before: you can't copy. There's no, like, don't copy. Just have a vision of what you're trying to create, the systems that you believe in, what are the principles that you want to, you know, hang your hat on as a football team in each phase of the ball, and then go attack it. You know, there's so many different ways to play. Schematically, to play great defense, what you can't sacrifice is how you play. You know, so Robbie Leonard is a friend of mine, and he's going to do a phenomenal job. He's a great football coach, and I know his vision will come to life for sure. I'm sorry. Oh man, I think the first thing with John is the type of just the person that he is. One thing I've learned is, like, you can't hide who you are, you know. So for him to be able to do it at this level for this long, I mean, if that's not, you know, the staple of what a real deal authentic leader is about, then I don't know what it is. But man of faith, man of integrity, ultra competitive. I think one thing that that John and Jim does, you know, that has resonated with me is the support they have for their players, of always having their backs. Always putting the team first, and the players realize that. You know, they know when you're for him or not, and John's been for his players his whole career, and he's a great example for really, really coaching across the world.
A lot has been made in the fact that you guys have played the most nickel in the league. What was the impetus, I guess, when you were mapping out the defense as far as making it that way?
Why do we play nickel? Because we can, you know. It's just, I mean, there's tactical reasons on why we want to do it. Some people were, and it's what's best for us to kind of try to dictate as many terms to the offense as possible. And teams are trying to manipulate you, and it's like, look, we'll just give you the one input, and we'll go play our best football, and you know, keep it about us rather than always having to respond to like the inputs that the offense puts out there.
Coach, how's the looming sale of the team impacting you?
It really hasn't. I mean, you know what's going on, but I mean, it's business as usual. That's the charge that Jody's gave us too, so it's pretty simple.
Mike, what did you say to the team after, you know, you won it all in terms of just getting away? Is it important for them to take a break for a little while?
Oh yeah.
Or do
yeah.
you want them to get back on the horse and start?
Yeah, I think the more important thing is just having a plan for what you want to achieve in the off season. So people's timetables are a little different. Some people, you know, will prefer to take a little bit less of a break and get their bodies back going. Some people need to get away. It's just what's best for them. The most important part is their kind of mental stage and where their bodies are at as we start our off-season program. So, but it's definitely important to get away and get refreshed.
How did that vary from the previous season where you didn't play as many games?
Well, I think it's just as simple as just having, what is that, like an extra 5 weeks, you know, just an extra 5 weeks of adjusting what your calendar is going to look like to get ready to go play. Yeah.
Another thing about this combine week that you'd like to see different?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Is there anything about this combine week that you would like to see different?
Oh, I don't know. I just tell us the rules and we'll go try to play by them better than anybody else. So it's just, how do you want to do it? Okay, that's fine.
There's a lot of focus on measurements here at the Combine. You guys built a locker room that's really tight and connected. How important is it to have the time with the people in person here and get to know who they are?
Well, that's why I'd like our coaches to be at these. Just, it's an extra data point that we can help contribute to the whole kind of equation, so to speak. And it's just an opportunity for us to get to know these guys. This is like we're entering the timeline, the evaluation timeline, basically at like the 11th hour. But, you know, our coaches' opinions, I know John really wants to know them, and I do too, and it's just going to help us, you know, create a better picture of, you know, who we want to add to our team.
Mike, you had Hamilton and Humphrey in Baltimore as sort of multiple position defensive backs. Now you have Evan Worry and Julian Love. How important are those guys, just the Rovers, in your defense, whether it's Baltimore or Seattle?
I mean, it's not like we didn't sit down and say, okay, we need like a 6'4", 200 and X amount of pound guy that's like a freak show of a person and athlete and human, like, to make this defense go. It's like, no, we had this opportunity to add a great player like Kyle and say, okay, well, if we were to, how would we make it come to life? And frankly, we kind of screwed it up initially with him, like, you know, like had him at safety and we found a great spot for him at nickel, and then he obviously he's become a phenomenal like deep area safety, and so that like that's the approach. Same thing with Nick. It's to say we got this great player that we have a vision for in our defense, and then hey, what are the things? How can we now train him to really help our defense the best? You know, and do the things schematically that we feel like we need to be able to do to have success against the offenses we're playing. So I think that's always going to be the mentality, because you know, the defenses we were playing when we were in Baltimore were significantly different than the ones we play all the time now, being the NFC West. And so that requires different things schematically, and so you're just always going to have to evolve. So for me to sit here and be like, hey, we have to play big nickel from here until, you know, 2050 or whatever, it's like that would be irresponsible.
Mike, you got a ton of games out of your rookie class. How important was that to what you guys accomplished this year and to the next 2 or 3 years?
Well, it's incredibly important for multiple reasons. One, I mean, just look at the productivity we had of those top two guys, solidifying our offensive line with Gray, and really the leadership position that he's taken within our team was really integral towards our success on offense. And you know, everyone talks about Nick, but that's kind of self-evident and how that came to life. But the whole rookie class as a whole, I think the way they handled their business in terms of being ready to go, understanding their stuff, putting in the extra time, showing that the vets, that they are invested in our team and it matters to them and they have respect for the guys that kind of laid the groundwork for them before them, let that connection happen quicker. And to the vets' credit, they're creating an environment where they let the guys kind of come in and be themselves and welcome them and show them the ropes. And if you don't have that, it's hard to build the team that we built. So that's something we're going to have to do moving forward. And obviously, we had a lot more picks last year going into the draft than we do this year. That will probably change, but those guys are going to be, you know, foundational pieces for our team moving forward.
Mike, good to see you again.
Yeah, you too.
In Baltimore, obviously, there was great alignment with the front office, coaching staff, head coach. Did you find that was pretty easy to establish year one in Seattle, or was there kind of stuff you had to work on this past year to get that alignment?
Well, that was something that I felt from our first conversation, and it was just, I think it's one of those things where you can't fake. Is this one of the things you feel? And people that are mentors of mine that have a relationship with John, which is a lot of people in our league, just all kind of said the same thing. And so it became very clear very early that he was someone that I really trusted and that we could have great alignment with, and it'd be fun to work with. So it's been that day since day one. Jody's been right there. Chuck Arnold, our president, I mean, just think everybody having the same vision of what we want to create, and then just going to work from there and just trying to do what's best for the organization all the time. So it's a great group to work with.
As I turn my ears going into the offseason, as far as being focused, because obviously it's a completely different offseason, you're the champs, you're going to be the target.
Well, right now there's no matter. Right now is get away and go get your body right, get your mental right, spend time with your friends and family, and then have a great plan for coming back for the offseason. But I don't know exactly what we're going to say, but like the principles of how we're going to operate is we want to nail the daily goals and the daily standard about what we're trying to achieve and to become a championship team again. And it's really going to be that simple, you know. So how we build the offseason program, what we do on a daily basis, you know, that's going to look a little bit different for a variety of reasons. But how we do our business, how we interact with each other, how we attack schematically, how we put things together, all those things, that'll stay the same.
What would be your advice to this round of new first-year head coaches?
I think just having confidence in what you believe in and understanding why you believe what you believe, and that'll give you confidence to forward that message throughout your organization. That's something that I could have done a better job of in my first year, and we took a big leap with that in our second year, and I think that paid dividends for us.
I think we asked you about Thomas Hammack and bringing him in.
Yeah.
How did that all work out?
Thomas and I have our first year in the NFL was the same year back in 2014. It's just very clear to me this guy's a heck of a football coach, how he handled his business, how he thinks about the game. He was a guy that I always be knocking on his door about, you know, how you attack certain protections and kind of give me some of the tricks of the trade. So I've always had a respect for him with his like football intelligence, but also how he led his position group, and then, you know, his work at Northern Illinois speaks for itself. I mean, some of the games they've won, they've won championships. The opportunity for us to add another head coach to our staff was, it's like, hey, come on, man. We love you. We need you. You got a great role for you. So I'm really excited what he brings to the table. And he's a great football coach, great person, good friend.
You feel like you're bringing in Daniel Stern? Like, what was the thought process on that?
Well, again, Daniel and I have had a relationship for a long time. Daniel's a chasing edges guy. You know, he's always in stuff. I think he thinks like four-dimensionally, you know, about really the whole program. And he's really focused his talents on offense, so I'm excited what he's going to bring to the table for our offensive staff. Great person. I think he fits the identity of our team, and he's going to be a fun guy to have around in the building as well, and I think our players are going to love him.
Do you feel like you have a little bit of a head start in terms of having a standard that's now been established, a culture that's been established that maybe hadn't been before this season?
Well, I think we've laid a solid foundation, but I think something that we have to do a great job of is evolving and not being complacent on what we've been able to build. And these things are so like fragile, you know. It's just you have to take care of it. You have to attack it every day. The culture is like, it's got to come to life every day in how you do things. And so, like, we can't just be resting on our laurels and saying, you know, we're sweet because we created a good culture in a year. We got to keep building this thing.
You mentioned the rookie class before. We saw what Riley did in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What's the next step for him?
First of all, really excited for Riley for, you know, having that, just the journey that he went through and have it kind of culminating with that play, really helping us get off the field in that series, which is a series that was, integral to winning the game. I think he shows what he can be. You know, I think he's going to be a versatile piece across our defensive line. Playing A, B, C gap, being able to rush the passer on third down. You know, and it's exciting for him to have a healthy offseason to go attack this thing, and carve out a great role for himself. So it's going to be fun. I mean, I know he's going to be mentally ready. I know he's going to be physically ready. It's just about putting in the work and creating that chemistry with the rest of the defensive line that. The rest of the guys have been able to build, and we're going to recreate that.
Calvin Shepard, Al mentioned he spoke to you, and you said, according to him, you said that his defense is not all that different from his defense, your defense. Kelvin's defense isn't all that different from your defense.
Okay.
But they play a lot more base, obviously, and he seems pretty convicted in having three linebackers, you know, and playing a lot of linebackers. I'm curious, like, how important is it to kind of stay true to your identity in that sense? I mean, knowing that chasing it, you know, you could get behind the curve. I mean, if everybody's trying to copy, say, your style of defense,
yeah, I think it's dangerous to start copying people. It's like, well, why are you doing what you're doing? What's your vision for your team, for your players? Which it sounds like that's how he's thinking, which sounds like that's a winning formula, but don't copy what we did. It's like, you had different players and different scheme, and do what you believe in. It's about how you play. It really is. It's just, how can you get your guys to play great football, play together? Schematics are really overrated, frankly.
Coach Dave Canales said yesterday he's given up his play calling. He felt like it was more important to be over the whole team. You've been successful at calling defense and being the head coach. What's the secret to making it work, and what are the negatives of the whole situation?
I'm sorry. You said Dave said he gave up play calling.
Yeah.
And so what was the question?
The question is, you made a success calling defense and being the head coach.
Yeah.
What's pluses, minuses of doing both?
Well, I think our approach is, how do we need to operate so we can play our best football and win the maximum amount of games? So I think we found on defense, we have some great roles for everybody on our staff, and everybody contributes to our game plan. Ultimately, right now, I'm the guy that says the final words on what we do, but I mean, up until I'm saying those things, there's a lot of collaboration going on where people have really, you know, bought in and created some great value for us on, you know, how we're going to handle the game plan and schematically. So at some point, maybe that decision criteria changes and we say, maybe we need to have somebody else call the game to put us in better position. Not going to rule that out, but right now I think we're on a pretty cool cadence and an organization with our staff, and then having the carryover from our staff as well is going to be a lot of fun going into year three.
Coach, what's the approach to the running back position this offseason?
Do what's best for the team.
Coach, when you finally got to your phone after the Super Bowl, how many text messages did you have?
I'm not as popular as you might think. It's actually, it's a funny story. So After Seattle hired me, I called Zach, and for some reason maybe I was back in Baltimore, and I saw him, and I was like, hey, how many text messages did you get? He had like seven times the amount of text messages that I had. After he became coordinator, I became humbled pretty quickly. So, but thanks for those who did reach out, you know, a few of you. You know, we haven't worked through what that's going to look like in the game right now. You know, Daniel's obviously an integral part of how they operate in Baltimore. I love how we do it here with Brian. He's been a tremendous asset for us and has put us in position to win numerous games that probably we shouldn't have. That's going to remain the same between Brian, Leslie, and I. But I'm sure Daniel, you know, will have some way to interact with us on ideas that he has, and we'll work through that as we go. But really, I see the majority of his role right now working through the offensive staff and seeing how we want the pass game to come to life.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. All right. Thank you.